a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Healthy Mind Matters on KSL News Radio.
Thank you for joining us for Healthy Mind Matters. Today we have been talking about pain management, and with me in studio today has been Kim Campani. She's Executive Operations Director of Pain Management Services for Intermountain Healthcare, and Linda Kasten, the Senior Data Manager for Intermountain Healthcare. We've been talking about all the different strategies to manage pain, and Linda, one that you think is very important are the social aspects of managing pain. Take a minute and talk about that.
Absolutely. Chronic pain patients have a tendency to withdraw from social interactions. They're in pain. They're miserable. They know people don't want to hear about how miserable they are. So they tend to withdraw over time. They stay in their homes. They don't attend social functions. One of the strategies that we've learned over time is that's actually counterintuitive. Patients tend to be in more despair when they're alone. They suffer more anxiety, more depression. And so we really encourage patients to set goals to attend maybe one social function a week. And one of the strategies that is offered, the Live Well with Chronic Pain class, is a support class. It teaches some of these skills. And we've learned that patients really enjoy it because they develop friendships in these classes. They can talk about their pain experiences, and they can also see how some patients actually have the same conditions and might be approaching their life and their quality of life differently. And they try to understand and compare. I'd like to just tell folks out there who are interested in that program, you can text PAIN to 91234 if you are interested, or you can search on www.livingwell.utah.gov. And this is a great program provides that type of support for individuals. But again, you can seek out your own social interactions, whether it be to volunteer, people who give to others, find they have less pain.
Kim, we've been talking about self-management as a way to deal with pain and to hopefully get opioids out of our lives, and that's leaving a lot of opioids in people's homes. And there are ways for people to get rid of those if they need to.
That's right. So I just want to let everyone know that it's important, specifically if you're on opioid medications, to make sure that you keep those in a locked area where others don't have access to them. Also, if you or someone you know is using an opioid for pain control, to make sure that you have naloxone on hand. We've had so many deaths from opioids, and these can be prevented by having a naloxone kit on hand. Some of the brand names people may have heard are Narcan or Evzio. But what this is available for all individuals, either through UtahNaloxone.org, or they can go into their local pharmacy and ask the pharmacist about naloxone, and that can be prescribed and given to them right there where they are in the pharmacy, so they can have that on hand for themselves or for loved ones. So if someone were to accidentally overdose with opioids, this can actually save their lives. It's a very important life-saving tool, and we recommend that everybody have those on hand. And you also mentioned about getting rid of opioids. We all know that sometimes we have excess opioids on hand, for we've had a surgery in the past, we've delivered a child. There's some reason that we maybe have those opioids at home that we're no longer using. Well, it's important to dispose of them properly. We shouldn't be flushing those down the toilet. We want to make sure they're going back so they're not going to harm our water stream. And all of our Intermountain community pharmacies have a medication take-back program where you can bring all your unwanted medications there and dispose of them properly. Or you can also visit the website useonlyasdirected.org for additional places to dispose of your medications.
Linda, we have just about a minute left. Maybe both of you could even give us a final comment and really encouragement to those people who may be suffering from pain and really aren't doing any of these techniques we've talked about. What would you say to encourage them to get help?
Well, I would tell them that most chronic pain patients that we've worked with, they're looking for hope. They want to know there's a future. And acceptance of their pain is really an important thing for them to learn. And all the strategies that we talked about today, the research has shown, and there's a lot of things we need to learn, but we have seen less psychological distress, improved functional disability, and maybe less pain, maybe the same, but people's lives have improved. And we've seen it. And
Kim, anything you'd like to add?
I think I just want to echo what Linda said is hope. That's the message we want to provide to pain patients, that we are looking at treating pain in so many different ways than we have in the past. And we're very optimistic for patients with pain that we're going to be able to help them to be able to treat that pain and have a great life and be able to move forward and also to have better function so they can be full-fledged members of society and feel good about themselves.
Thank you to both of you for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you.